Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Boy, it is great to see all these faces here this morning. I tell you, it's very challenging too. My mother-in-law asked me, he said, "You nervous?" I said, "I don't know if you ever get out of it." So it takes me a little bit to kind of get started. But look, trust me, I feel like a fuse on a dynamite. I feel that fuse until when I hit that dynamite, you want to explode. But I'm gonna try to do my best to go slow because, man, you can't rush y'all. Where are we going to go today? It's a day set apart that he designed for us since the beginning of time. So he wants to meet with you like he met with Adam in the beginning. Since the beginning, he met with Adam. He said, "I want to meet with you." So this is the day we want to meet with him. So we're going to take our time and go through his word real slow. Boy. But we're going to pick up from where we left off in Genesis chapter 21, starting at verse 22. And you know, I was thinking about last night and the word that went forth. Man, I got home and I'm looking at this. And I'm saying, well, you know, you kind of go breeze right through it. It's just Abraham and Abimelech. Well, you know, there's still some stuff in there we still have to look at and see some similarities and some types. You know, you might go to it and you might think, well, that's not really nothing much there. Well, let's see for ourselves. We're going to take our time, and I'm going to try to share with y'all everything I have. I don't know if we'll get it all, but we're going to do our best to try. And in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 22, "And it came to be at the time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, 'Elohim is with you in all that you do.'" Now you think all this time that, you know, they had an encounter before. And we know that Abraham told him a little, I want to call it a little white lie, because we've heard that term before. It was true, but it wasn't all the way truth. But you know, hey, look, either tell the truth or don't tell it. Tell the truth or tell a lie. Well, look, he said, "Well, she's my sister." Remember, everywhere you go, say, "You're my sister." And she really was. But it was a little bit trickery going on there. And we know, because we're going to see what Abimelech is going to say about that subject. But he said, "Elohim is with you in all that you do." He recognized Abraham all that time. He's been watching him. Because you notice, there's some time. He said, "And it came to be at that time." Now, you know, that's some time passed. Last time some of you were here, we thought we was going to deliver the baby. We delivered the baby while y'all were gone. So we do have a new player in the game. His name is Isaac. And he was the seed of promise that Abraham and Sarah have been waiting for years. I'm talking about 100 years they've been waiting for this kid to come along. Because why? He was 75 when he left his hometown. And all this time passed. And during this whole time, it wasn't a cakewalk for Abraham. You know, we got to think Hebrew. We got to think what was going on in that time. What was happening? What situations he encountered? Look, it's been a journey. And look, this has been a journey for us. And I feel like I'm with Abraham every step of the way, every time we've been going through. This is why we've been going so slow and taking our time with it. But some time has passed. And he has a son, finally. The son we've been waiting for after all this time. He says, "And now swear to me by Elohim not to be untrue to me." Why? Because you remember he told him that little half-truth back in chapter 20. He said, "It's everywhere you go, she's my sister." So we had this encounter with Abimelech. "Not to be untrue to me, to my offsprings, or to my descendant. Do to me according to the loving commitment that I have done to you and to the land in which you have dwelt." What loving commitment? What is he talking about there? We're going to get to that. And Abraham says, "I swear." But if we go back one chapter, and we look at verse 14, you're going to see that Abimelech, it said, "And Abimelech took sheep and cattle and male and female servant and gave them to Abraham, and he returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, 'See, my land is before you. Dwell wherever it is good in your eyes.' And to Sarah he said, 'See, I've given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver.'" "See, it is to you a covering of eyes before all who are with you and before all others, and you are clear before everyone. So you see, he's rewarding Abraham because you know the truth finally going to come out. You're going to get caught. You may hold a lie for years, but eventually it's going to come up to you. You'll be caught. So we can see right here that he rewards Abraham. He gives him his wife back. Because why? Yehovah came to Abimelech in a dream and said, "You a dead man." Now, I don't know about you and I, that scares me. You have a dream one night, you wait, and Yahweh, he appears to you in a dream and says, "You a dead man? If you don't return the man's wife?" He recognized the Elohim of Abraham. Because I remember he was a Philistine, remember. And he believed in different gods. There's a lot of things that went on over there. That, look, we don't have time to go in that area, but he recognized there's something special about Abraham and Abraham's Elohim. And he recognizes that. So going back to over here, back to 23. "Don't be untrue to me and to my offspring." Why? Because he knows when he dies, he's going to have children, just like you and I. So he wants them to be true to his family, to his children after him. So you see, this is an oath they're about to make. This is where we're getting at. "And Abraham said, I swear." Well, now we see there's a situation that Abraham wants to clear up. Being we talking, you and I, and being though we have a bond already in the past. Look at verse 25. "And Abraham reproved Abimelech." Now we learned a little bit about approving last night. How Yehovah chastened those who he loves. And for us not to despise that chastening, because it's only for our good. We need it. If not, we would run around recklessly. Live our lives loosely, like we did in the past. Scripture tells us that too. "And reprove Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized." Abraham digs the well, but he said, "This is ours." He goes, "Why? It's my daddy's a king here." Now, something about Abraham, like Abimelech and Phicol, these two guys. I'm not 100% sure, and I didn't Google it, but I'm thinking that Phicol is his son. Because Abimelech means my father is king. And Phicol, his commander of the army, his number one guy, means strong. So I couldn't think of whoever else to put a king and put your son next to you. And we see that in the scripture. We say that Yehovah is the king. His son is where? Right next to him. We see that. So we can see patterns in scripture that lead us and guide us our footsteps. And we're gonna I'm trying to go really slow, I promise. "His servants had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this deed, neither did you inform me, nor did I hear until today." I just found out. I know nothing about this well. So he's pleading his case, he's pleading his innocence, but Abraham says, look, we dug this well. My gang and I, my son and I, because remember, Isaac right now, time has passed. He's not the little boy that just got weaned, who we talked about a couple of Shabbats ago. He's a young man. The sages say, but I mean, that's what, you can Google stuff like that. He's probably around the age of 30, which is a type and shadow of who? Our Messiah. This is what is so important, especially when we get into chapter 22, which I'm creeping that way because, boy, this is where the fuse hits the dynamite and you just want to explode. But I got to cover this because Brother Rob, you know, left a little, I guess he wanted me to talk about it. Oh, boy. So let me tell you, this stuff is challenging and it'll make you sweat, especially when you're sitting for a large crowd of people. Because you want to say the right thing. You want to. Now I'm not here just to inspire you and tell you a story, because we're dealing with eternal life here today, and we're going to see that. But we got to deal with this situation about whose well it belongs to. So Abraham took sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant, a berith, in the Hebrew. They made a pact. And it's okay to make pact with people. But be true to your word. If you're going to say you're going to do it, do it. You know, we get challenged here all the time. You got it? You good? Yep. If you say yes, you're on the hook. I promise you, you're on the hook. And I can't back out now. I promise you. So here they made a covenant. It's okay to make covenants. It's okay. We don't have to fear that. Yeah, when you buy a car or boat, whatever, you buy a house, you're making a covenant. That's just what it is. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Now, why is he taking sheep and cattle and giving them to Abraham? But the 7 ewe lambs, female lambs, he's putting them by themselves. This to me, this was a little eye catcher. Because I come, why? I mean, just give it all to him. But he put them separate. Now, you know that verse I just read? This is something I just found out. I thought to me it was a great tie-in. That he gave Sarah 1,000 pieces of silver. We just read that. Why? We don't want no shady business to know. Because what was the bride price? Let me read it to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 22. And look at verse 28. And when a man finds a girl who is a maiden who is not engaged and has seized her and lies with her, and they are found out, the man who lay with her shall give to the girl's father 50 pieces of silver, and she is to be his wife because he has humbled her. He is not allowed to put her away all his days. Now you say, what's this got to do with the Torah portion? Well, if you take 50 and you times 20, you get 1,000. He gave that to Sarah separate on the side so there wouldn't be no shady business. So what does Abraham do right here? We pay back kindness to me and to my seed. We're going to put these 7 ewe lambs on the side. Now you say, well, that's not, I don't know if that, how much is worth 7 ewe lambs at that time. But I can tell you they were valuable. Because all through the scripture, this comes up. You see several times where 7 ewe lambs, not 7 ewe lambs, but the ewe lambs are mentioned in scripture. Let me get back to my spot. Oh my, not 2021. He said these 7 ewe lambs by the still. They also, 7 female lambs. If you got a ram, you're going to get what? Babies. Reproduction. So you can see where lambs, they were very valuable. But so he set them by himself as a special prize, like he did with Abraham with Sarah. This is a special prize for you. He could have just paid 50 pieces of silver. Because why? What did Abraham say? She's my sister. So he had right there. He had every right. Well, I'm going to take her in. But it wasn't because, I don't think it was just because just to have relations. It was more about alliance. Because you see, Abraham, he's coming with an entourage of people. And all these people are walking with his men, his 300 armed trained men of his own house that he trained. Imagine these guys. So, and he's got all these flocks and sheep and cattle. Hey, come, buddy, I'll marry your sister. Why not? So he put them 7 ewe lambs by themselves. King, they're special for you. That's why he asked. And Abimelech asked Abraham, what are these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? They're special. They're special for you, King. He ain't giving them to anybody. But you see the tie-ins between that and the 50 pieces of silver that he gives to Sarah. He puts them on the side. He said, these are for you. So you take that 50, like I said, 50 times 20 gives you 1,000. So some of these things just kind of, look, when I'm sitting there, it's like, okay, I didn't see this, but maybe there's some similarities there. Also, there's another time, matter of fact, that 50, that 1,000, that's 20 times more that he's even paying back for the bride price. You getting that? And we heard, you know, scriptures passed out the Bible that the man that's famous, he says, as a weary traveler came to town. Think about that. Let me read it to you, because I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. In 2 Samuel, we still talk about these lambs and how precious they are. Chapter 12. It should be a familiar story, we all know. Then Jehovah sent Nathan to David. You see, this when you talk about a ewe lamb, it's more than just what you read here. It's further into the scripture. And he came to him and said to him, there were 2 men in the city, one rich and the other poor. The rich one had flocks and herds very many. But the poor had only one ewe lamb. I mean, you want to guess where you can go trace that back to? He only had one. And you see how valuable, look, just the seven we read. Why seven? He could have given eight, but why seven? Well, I thought about it. I mean, that's 7 days in a week. And what's more popular when you read in the Genesis, that the 7 days, the only one that has a name on to it. Yeah. Right. Well, what a coincidence that is. So we can see how Scripture just leads you down a path where you're really not looking, but He knows your path. And we're going to get to that. Yeah. He had one little ewe lamb which he had brought and kept alive. And he grew up with him and with his children. Think about that, because we're about to get in chapter 22 where he talks about take your son, your only son. So this is this man, only ewe lamb that he has. You think it's valuable to him? Very valuable. Look, I got a boat in my yard. It's valuable. I have one boat, and it's valuable. But we're not talking about boats today. We're talking about this poor ewe lamb that this man has. And brought it and kept it alive, and he grew up with him and with his children together. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup, and he lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. What a precious little lamb. And a traveler came to this rich man who refused to take from his own flock. Uh-oh. There's some issues. And from his own heart, from his own herd, to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Stole that man's lamb. I'm so glad Abraham gave him seven. But man, he's talking about just one precious little lamb. He went and stole that man's lamb. And the wrath of David burned greatly. Because why? Who's David? David's the king. Burned against that man. And said to Nathan, "Has Jehovah lived? The man who hath done this is a son of death. Also, he hath to repay fourfold for the lamb." So you think Abimelech, maybe somebody, he might have known. He gave him just, he could have given him just 50 people to bribe. What he did, he gave him 20 times more. You can see the increase there. So that was David out of his own mouth. He said, "That man going to pay back fourfold." You're the man. You the man, Dawid, that stole that one man's lamb. Because he did this, he said, well, let me get back. He had to repay fourfold for the lamb because he did this deed and because he had what? No compassion. Now, we've learned about compassion in here. Are we learning? We're still learning about compassion because we need it. And Nathan said to Dawid, "You are the man." So you can see the way this ewe lamb in chapter 21 it has more story than just what I just read. But I just want you to see the value of it. Why did he set them by themselves? Because they're worth value. They're worth something. And back in that way, that one lamb that Nathan was talking about is worth something. So this lamb that we're going to talk about today has to be worth something to you. And he said, "Take these seven ewe lambs from my hand to be my witness that I have dug this well," to be a witness. That no shady business went on here. And I'm sure Abraham, in his position, he didn't do like Esau. I mean, like Cain, and just go pick any old lamb out of the flock. You giving your present to a king in that time? Or he just didn't go down to local Walmart and just find whatever lamb he can find. I'm sure he picked out a choice lamb. One that will reproduce. One that will provide for his household. Because why? He's looking for loving commitment from Abraham's hand. And we see Abraham does right by doing that. Thus they made a covenant, Berith at Beersheba. Well, you know Beersheba. And also seven. I have it in here. My notes are so cluttered sometimes. Because I had it all nice and pretty. But then when you got to go back and read, you missed something. So you add it in there. And it's like it gets lost in your stuff. Beersheba, H884, Beersheba, well of seven, oath. It's mentioned 39 times in the scripture. So this is a very important word to look at. So you have to deal with sevens. And he planted a tismaric tree, tamarick tree, in Beersheba, and called on the name of Yehovah, the everlasting El. Now why? And then we look at it and we say, why this tree? It ain't a fruit tree. So we got to see why, for one thing, it's a second witness. Because what we got to have, I dug this well, you need two witnesses when you make a covenant. You need a couple witnesses. You can't just take my word for it. So one witness was the lambs. The other witness was the tree. That's what I find. Let's look at this tree for a second. You say it might not be a whole lot about it, but you ask why a tismaric tree? Well, despite desert conditions, the tismaric tree survives with minimal water. It grows slowly, takes decades to mature. I don't know how much time we have, but it takes some of us a little bit of time, more than others, to mature. Okay, enough of that said. Over time, this tree is able to produce shade. Not enough fruit, just shade. It's a good tree to rely on. The most precious commodity in any hot, sun-dried, sun-drenched land. I tell you, that's why I'm not a beach person. I have a tan. I tell to my wife all the time, I don't need a tan. I'm looking for the tree so I can go sit in the shade. Hello. And whatever else, I like sitting on the shade if I'm on the beach. Hello. You can always find me because I'd be the one under the tree. I'd probably be the only guy on the tree on the beach. So when you're in the desert, and it's hot, and you have very little water, look, we know that when he casts out, somebody help me here. Hagar. She needs some shade. So this is why he planted a tree. I'm sure it provides lots of shade. So why would a 100-year-old man plant a tree that takes so long to become useful? He's 100 years old, and it takes decades to mature. Why is he planting this tree? I'm glad y'all asked. Oh, let me get back to my answer. Simple. He was not planting it for himself. Abraham planted a tismaric tree for generations to come, for you and I. I thought that was so beautiful when I read that, when I found that. How many of you know sometimes we need the shade? Yes. We need him. Because why? The way that safety is under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, you are my refuge and my fortress, my El in whom I trust. If you get out from under that shade, there's no security. You have to be under the shadow of the Almighty. Boy, this is good. We need that tismaric tree. I might even go look to see if I can plant. It's also, I ain't done with y'all yet. Let me just find it. Its evergreen nature represents hope, life, and new beginnings. It takes decades to mature. It's also used for medical purposes, such as infections, wounds, liver, and spleen disorders. So I don't know what they do with it, how they fix it. Maybe they cut some of the bark off or the leaves and maybe boil it, use it as tea. I don't know. I've never heard of this before. This is why we're here learning today. So when you go home, let me go Google some of this stuff and look it up for yourself. Don't just take my information. Go look it for yourself. This is what we've been saying since day one. So I thought this was very good. I could see him planting that for us, for future generations to come. And Abraham sojourned in the land of Philistine many days. Oh, I need my water. Excuse me. Now we're fixing to get to chapter 22. Boy, I tell you, this gets to like, this is where we're still in Vieira. For most of us is here. And this has been a journey. Now we're getting to a spot to where You have to slow down. There's no rush in this section. And we're going to see that this is like almost the very meat of the word right here in Vayera that we really have to pay attention to. Because we know we had to have Itzhak. And what does Itzhak, he represents a type of what was to come, Messiah. And it came to be after these events. After what event? The ones I just read to y'all. But you're not found alone? After the events we just read. That all we just had with Abraham up until now, we're about to learn something right here. That Elohim tried Abraham again and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Now listen, let's see what he says. And he said, Jehovah said, take your son, now your only son, Itzhak, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as an ascending offering on one of the mountains which I command you. Now, I am so glad that we've been going real slow. Because I've read this in time past, and you read the Bible, but we never really took our time to sit there and dissect what we're looking at here in these two verses. And what I found in my studies, my quiet time and time that I like to spend, I found four things. I find one thing we're going to talk about is love. We're going to talk about hate. We're going to talk about lust. And we're going to talk about death in these two verses. One and two. How's all that in there? Well, we got to slow down and take our time and let's look at it. You know, from the time he was 75, the way he waited all the time for the seed of promise. Now you're asking me to do what? Now the sages say, I don't know. This came to Abraham in a dream. And I'm not here to discuss, to say that's not true, because it's very possible. He could have been laying down one night and during the night, because he does that. We've seen this time and time, that he'll go to people in dreams or visions. And he says, now take your son whom you love. This is the final test for Abraham. Remember, he's been tested 7, 8, 9 times. But this is his last test. Because why? He's really up in age. His wife's up in age. He ain't done with him yet. But now he wants to test his love for him. Now, some of us today, we've been in this business a long time. You've been in church sitting there. We're going to test your love. He tested his loyalty. He tested his obedience. He tested his faithfulness and trust in everything he said. But now this is a love test. To see how far he really going to go if you're going to love me till death. Because that's the way it leads. That's what his love is going to test him all the way till death. And we say, it really had to go that far? Yes. Yes. I didn't design it. I'm just going to give you the word that what it says. Take your son, your only son. Now, some of us can't even imagine that. I can't imagine. I have an only son. You know, now that I'm remarried, I have three sons. And I have two daughters and three grandbabies. But from my seed, I have one son, my only son, and I have one daughter. Some of you today, you might have, I don't know what your children's status, I know some of us. But can you imagine, Yehovah is asking you, to the end of your life, all what you stood for, all what you stand, to offer up your son. Ladies, all you bad children, the 9 months you went through the pregnancy, and the time you spent with them when they were sick and in school, and the time you spent with your kids that when daddy's not around because mama had to be there, or some of you didn't have mama, daddy was there for you, vice versa, however it was. And Yahweh is going to put you to the test to see if you love him. This is not about, you're going to learn this love. There's two kinds of love. There's your social love, like I love everybody here, but there's Yah's love. And this is where he's trying to elevate you to. This is another step up. This is another grab on the ring of the ladder. We ain't talking about just friendship love here. Because why? We're talking about eternal life. And you don't get eternal life by a cakewalk. You're not going to get just waltzed into the kingdom. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to be tested. You're going to be challenged. You think Abraham, you think, look, he's hungry, you know, what more can y'all ask from him? Lay down your life. Yeshua said there's no greater love that a man would lay down his life for his friend. Look, When you get to that point, you're sold out completely. That's what he wants from Abraham. He wants Abraham to be sold out, just like he wants you and I to be sold out. Regardless if it's your wife, regardless if it's your husband, if it's your daughter, if it's your son, you have to be sold out to him. You're not here to come hear me, I can promise you. You're here, you better be here because you love him. That's the only reason why you can be here today. You have to love him, regardless of what life throws at you. Look, this is not an easy subject right here. Because your love, throughout your life, he's never faced this kind of test until now. Because look, he loved Ishmael. And look, we know he has more children, but Yah says, take your son, your only son. Because why? He was the seed of promise that you've been waiting for 100 years. You've been waiting for this kid. You finally got him. Nah, I need him. Really? So can you imagine if he was sleeping and he woke up and he says, honey, wife, Sarah, whatever you called her, babe. We got to work on it. We got all kinds of names we call our wives. He says, Yah called me to do a mission. Well, what's that, honey? I have to take our son and offer him up as a sacrifice. Can you imagine? Trying to tell your wife that? Now, can you imagine? Because he said, take your son now. Not tomorrow. Not give you time to think about what he's asking. I want you to do it right now. Haste. We got no time to wait. So now, as a woman, I can't even think about imagining you seeing your son for the very last time, because this is what happens right here. She doesn't see Isaac anymore. And you know how I know that? Well, that's the next tour portion that we ain't getting into. But this is the last time she sees her son. Can you imagine that? I can't. So what's going through her mind when Abraham takes his son, which we've got to add a scripture, we've got to tie this before, but I'm just telling a little bit of the story, that when they leave their tent, she watches her son leave, walk down an old dusty road for the very last time, watching for at least 10 miles until they're out of sight. You think she was worried about what she had on the fire? Or what was going on if the clothes wasn't folded? She had her eye on her son, just like we need to have our eye on his son. Until your eyes close, till you can't see him no more, our eyes better be fixed upon him. Because why? You know why? He is the only way you're going to make it into everlasting life. There is no other way. I'm sorry. I don't care what religion, what background, what shape, size, color you come from. There's no other way to get in there but through the door that is Yeshua Messiah. All right. Having said all that, that was just part of the foundation. Let's look at something else here. There's that tried Abraham. Now we know Yah, he don't tempt nobody, but he will put you to the test to try you, to see where you stand, to see if you're shady, if you say who you say you are. Look, we had people on the front line before that were standing who are not standing. You know when you do that, yeah. What happened to? We had a great incident with Lot's wife. What happened when you turn back? Come on now, he said when you put your hands to the plow. And like I said, my father's got a little tiller. I mentioned it probably last time. Put that little tiller, and when you crank it up, and when you give it the power, and you put that tiller to the ground, you best be holding on. There's no time for looking back and see if your line is straight. It's designed to do one thing and keep you focused straight ahead. And this is what the word is designed for, to keep us focused straight ahead. Look, even though it's broad, there's a lot of information that we can never cover. You know, we do our best to try to explain Yah to you, but only he can do that to you. Only he can explain himself if you have to look into his word. You know, you can't unhitch from, I don't care what anybody says, you unhitch from, you'll never know who he is. Or what he's about. You never know what he likes, what he don't like. So you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested on your job. You're going to be tested on your finance. Your character is going to be tested. Look, If whatever you can name, you'll be tested in. Because Yah knows. And you know who else knows? Hasatan. Satan. He knows. Well, you can't see him, but trust me, he's around. The scripture says he goes about the roaring lion seeking who he might devour. Let's see that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. In case you didn't, you think I just made that up. Verse 1, and Yeshua was led up by the Spirit. That's the key right there. And you know that's the key. Into the world to be tried by the devil. Just because he was the son of Elohim, he was not exempt. People try to make him exempt. He said, well, he's God's son. He was still tried. If that were the case, why try him? Why even put that verse in the scripture? Because you know why? He was born of a virgin, but you know, God, like what his father said, he will not fail. That's who we measure up to. We don't measure up to no one else in here. We measure up to him. Because he is our chief cornerstone. That's what the scripture says. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Some of us can't go 4 days, more or less 40 days. Maybe even 4 hours. Because look, let me tell you, back then when some of y'all walked in, I had to go pick up the chicken yesterday. And my father-in-law knows I'm a chicken man. I love chicken. And chicken loves me. He said, you should have put that chicken in the back of the truck yesterday. I said, next time I will. Because that was the longest ride from Freeman to down here to get that chicken out of the truck in the cab with me. I said, why did I do that? Man, but boy, it smells so good. Let me tell you. I know, y'all don't know how bad y'all had missing chicken this morning. Boy, but look, so he's hungry. You don't think he's not hungry? Yes, he's hungry. And well, who's coming? And the trier came and said to him, if you are the son of Elohim, command these stones become bread. Now, I could have easily, y'all would have never known, would have bitten to some of that chicken, and I could have covered it up. And boy, oh boy. Well, that word trier is mentioned 39 times. The trier is G3985, parizo. It's to test you. It's to entice you. And you know, he entices you. That's what he did. He did it to the master. You think he wouldn't do it to you? Come on now. Shake your head. Wake up. Discipline. Examine. Go about. Prove. Tempter. There's another word in there. It's called scrutinize. Uh-oh. So me, like I said, I'm just a bayou boy. I got to go look this up. What is scrutinize? Examine or expect closely. Yeah, look, Hasatan is waiting for you just to slip just a little bit. And thoroughly, customer will want to scrutinize, doesn't it? To inspect closely and thoroughly. That's what scrutinize is. Now I learned something. But he's watching you closely. You know who else is watching? Your father's watching you too. He said he's not going to try you without and not making a way for you to escape. He don't want you to slip. But he's going to put you in that spot. Look, yesterday also, while I went to pick up the chicken, I went by my uncle's house. And my uncle was open. He has a little disease, so he has trouble doing things. So I gave him a hand. He was opening oysters. Now, that was one of my favorite seafoods. So while he was there shucking them, you know, he's having a hard time opening them up. I went there and I banged each one for him so it'd be easy for him to open. But let me tell you, boy, they sure was pretty. Nobody wouldn't have known, but he would have. I just wanted to lick one of them. Why? Because I was tempted. I was being scrutinized at that very moment. And look, it sounds funny, but you've been there. You're going to go through that in life. Well, I know it sounds funny, but he's trying to. You know what? It goes. It leads you to a root word, 3984, which is para. It's a trial, experience, attempt to a thing to make a trial of anything of a person. So it's there, and like I said, Nobody, my uncle sure wouldn't have told. He can't even hardly understand a word come out of his mouth. But it's just to show you that just little things like that, that the enemy knows, because he knew at one time, hey, look, I love oysters. But I had to make a decision. And I've heard this, somebody say this a long time ago. Would you rather be boot out your circle or boot out the kingdom? Because you know that's going to happen. And when that guy made a statement, it stuck with me. I even wrote it down. I wrote it down. Would you rather be boot out your circle or boot out of the kingdom? And we read that, because we read that the other night in Luke. Let me just go to it. Let's go to Luke 13. I probably won't get back on the trail. I ain't going to lose nobody here. But in Luke 13, I had it here just in case. I didn't know we were going to get to it, but in verse 22, and he was going through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying through Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Master, are there few who are being saved? And when I look around here tonight, there's just a few of us here. And what a question to ask, because back then there was a lot of people there around him. And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Striving, let me tell you something. Striving means you go through stuff. Yeah. Means the tempter's going to come. Yeah. You'll be tempted. Yeah. The scripture said he was tempted at all points, but yet without sin. Yeah. Now, if we've been tempted in our lives, in some area of our lives, you know what? We fail. Yeah. We fail. Look, my eyes were saying yes. My stomach was saying yes. Don't do it. That's how critical it was, because this is something that I crave. I mean, that's what flesh wants you to do. It wants you to crave everything that the spirit doesn't want. It's against it. It has nothing in common. That's why they talk about light and darkness. What is there to talk about? Strive to enter through the narrow gate. Narrow gate, think about that. That's why this world says broad. Everybody's going to the kingdom, according to the world. But this is not what the master says. Because many, I say to you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, really, many seek to enter but not be able? Why? Once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Master, Master, open up for us. And he shall answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. See? The world says everybody's coming. Scripture says, you outside the door, if he closes it, you're too late. Amen. Now, I'll let you decide that for yourself. Who's lying? Then you shall begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. We was on Shabbat. We were there during the service. We ate and drank in your presence. What are we going to do today? We're going to do some of that. And you taught in our streets. But he shall say, I say to you, I don't know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all you workers of unrighteousness. Wow. What some harsh words that the master is saying. Why is he saying that? Well, I thought we were doing right. Well, in order for you to be doing right, you got to go back to the beginning, because you got to follow what he says. We have to follow the instructions. That's instructions given to us. If we don't follow, you and I don't make it. So who else better to deliver this message right here than his own son? And we can't override that. It don't matter what the world says. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see. Now, what does your scripture say? Your translation. Read it with me. Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. When you see them and all the who? The prophets in the reign of Elohim. And you yourself what? Booted out. You just got the boot. And where are we living in Louisiana? What do we look like? The boot. What a coincidence. I just thought I'd throw that one in there. That one didn't cost y'all nothing. Well, I tell you, this is what he's telling you. I'm not telling you this. I'm just delivering the message today. No, look, don't boot me out your circle. I love being in the circle. I love being with my family. And one day I want to sit and eat with, and drink with Abraham and with Isaac and with Yaakov and all the prophets. You think this was something? This was nothing. We throw this on. Look, I sure hope they got chicken there. Oh, boy. Oh, my. See, we gotta pay attention when we read. Pay attention to the master, what he says. Oh, boy. But I tell you, your love for him will be tested. Not today. Maybe not even tomorrow. But the trial is coming. You know, you don't think he comes at my house because I live at 148. I don't tell him 144, he's going to knock at my in-laws' place. Got to make sure I give him the right address. 148 Pace Lane. He comes down that lane too. He's not only look around. Oh boy. Oh, let's look at this love test, because we got to go through this. 1 John chapter 4. Well, let me just cover one thing before we get there, before we start reading. Moriah, age 4179, is a place he said is chosen by Yah. It's a place that I'll show you. He said, I'm going to direct you to this place, to this mountain, where I'm going to show you. I mean, look, if Yah's leading you, you can't go wrong. You might not know where you're going because we don't see the big picture. We can't see until tomorrow. But you have to let your footstep be ordered by him. Amen. You have to. Yeah. Let him examine your steps. Let him lead you, because you can't go wrong. Moriah is a scene of Yah. He goes to a root word where we're familiar with here. H7200 is Ra'ah, to see, to look at, inspect, perceive, consider. So Yah takes all these in consideration. He inspects us. That's where that scrutinizing comes in at. And I got to read that because I passed it up. So before we read this, we're going to go back. It goes also to a root word, H3050 is Yah. Is Yah shortened. Which eventually leads you to his name, H3068, Yehovah. Let me tell you, now when I was digging in that goes to another root word. And that root word leads to two root words. And those two root words lead back to another root words until it looks like there's no end. So as I was going through that, I said, you know what? If I go down this way, we'll be here a really long time. So, but you can show how big this chapter 22 that we're getting into, because why? Who's doing the leading here? Yehovah. He's the one directing Abraham. Who's directing you? That's the question. Who are you following where he wants you to go? Are you saying what he wants you to say? Are you honoring him? We sang that second song, God of Abraham. You know how the song goes. It just blesses me when I hear it. Because that's what we put our faith, our hope, our trust in him. That's what the song says. You have to. Why else would you be here today? Let me just read something right here. Let's go back to Psalms. I got to finish this scrutinize here. Psalms 139. Look at verse 1. Oh, Yehovah, you have searched me and know me. Don't you know he searched you and know you? Every time you sit there when you think you're alone, you're by yourself. Earlier when I came here, I went and sit upstairs. I didn't even turn the light on. I didn't need the light. Because he is the light. All I do is just peek into his word. Saying, you know me. You know my sitting down. You don't think he knows everything about you? You can't hide from him. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought from afar. Even in tomorrow, even what you're thinking about tomorrow, he already knows. Yeah. He says, you sift my path and my lying down, and know well all my ways. Now, that's where you can use that word scrutinize. Because the NASB put the word scrutinize right there. You scrutinize my path. You examine me closely. I believe he takes his time with you. He didn't just throw you together and say, hey, there you are. You look like you look because, hey, that's what I had left over. No, he took his time with you. He leaned down to the dust and he formed man from the dust of the ground. He had elements to man. He took his time. His creator. He said, this is very good. Oh, you're very good in here today. You made it, why? Because you made it in his likeness and in his image. This verse said, it says, you sift my path. Now I had to look at that. What do you mean he sifts my path? For the short definition, he goes through your public life. He watches you every day. He knows when you go, when your eyes close to go to sleep, from the time you're sleeping during the night, he's watching over you. And then when you wake up in the morning, he knows your, he has your public records. Imagine that. We got to go to City Hall or something like that, or to the courthouse if you want public records. He has them. He has them written down. So I thought this was very beautiful when he says that. For there is not a word on my tongue, but see, O Yehovah, you know it all. Before they come out your mouth, he knows what you're going to say. But he still wants you to ask. Because he's a loving father. He's compassionate. You have clothed me, you have closed me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Knowledge too wondrous for me. It is high. I'm unable to reach it. He's so big. That's why when I got to his name, Yehovah, there's so much depth that he goes into. We wouldn't have time to, if I just went to his name, you can do the whole lesson. You can use all his time up. Just 1 hour on the CD. That's how much depth it goes into. Where would I go from your spirit? Or where would I flee from your face? Where can you go? And he don't know. Now I'm gonna, y'all can go back and finish read that. I want to go to 1 John because I gotta get to the test. That was just a little lanyard for y'all right there. 1 John chapter 4. He says, beloved one. Now pay attention. You're going to see beloved. You're going to see love. Love. You're going to see a lot of love in here. And one of them is G25. And one is G26. The G25, agapao, is mentioned 142 times. Social love. The scripture is full of it. Compared to agav in the Hebrew. Oh, I didn't write the number down. I'm sorry. It's H5689. Agav, you know what agav leads you to? Lust. What are we talking about? Love, lust, hate. And the second one is agape, mentioned 116 times, which that's where he wants to take you to. Its definition is benevolence. Benevolence was one of the words in that definition. Of course, I don't know, so I got to go look. It's the disposition to do good, goodwill, kindness, charity, the love of mankind, accompanied with the desire to promote their happiness. It's not about you. It's about you, about your fellow man. Or your fellow woman, whatever. What was Abraham? Abraham, he showed hospitality. That's what it's about in the scripture. So was he tested in that? You better believe it. He was tested. When them three visitors came to visit him, what did he do? He was running. Let me just give you what benevolence, I keep telling we'll get to this, but I got to show you what benevolence looks like before I go there. I'm probably going to get to John. Let's go back to Matthew. You see my notes, I'm going to tell you. When copy down, I want to try to explain it all to the best I can. Matthew 25, verse 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. This is what benevolence looks like. Was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Then the righteous shall answer him, saying, Master, when did we see you hungry, and when and we fed you, or thirsty, we gave you drink, you to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison, and we came to you? And the sovereign shall answer and say to them, verse 40, Truly I say to you, insofar as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. That's benevolence. Showing hospitality. Showing love for his creation. Because that's what we all are. We're all his. Now we're going to get to the love. I promise we're going to get to this testing. I don't know how Brother Rob did last night without notes, but I got to have them because this thing is broad. I can tell you. Oh, boy. 1 John 4. I'm in the wrong chapter. Beloved ones, do... No. 1 John 4, verse 7. There we go. Beloved one, let us love one another. Because love is of Elohim. And everyone who loves has been born of Elohim and knows Elohim. What are we talking? What's the subject right now? Love. What did Yehovah tell ask Abraham? Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Testing him. Like you're being tested today. And you'll be tested. If your test don't come today, maybe it'll be tomorrow, next week. I don't know. But he will test your love. Because this is the final thing that Abraham has to go through. Why? Because he's about to inherit nation, a multitude of nations. When I look out, I see a multitude of nations here today. That's the promise he told Abraham. So you think he's going to test the love? You're going to be the father of all these people? We're going to test that to see how far you're willing to go. And we know where it goes to. He leads you to a way to death. Because why? What would have happened? If the angel of Yehovah never stopped him? Isaac would have been a dead man. But we know what the scripture says, he's a type, knowing that he would have had to raise him up because he's the promised son. Just like he raised his own son. He had to raise him. He had no sin in him. That's why the scripture tells us that. Who knows Elohim, born of Elohim, and knows Elohim. I think I may have something on that. I'm not sure. The one who does not love does not know Elohim, for Elohim is love. Now, if we've heard this statement before, and we use it quite often. Well, we unhitch from the Old Testament or the Brit Hadashah. Well, if you unhitch from that, where are you going to find your love at? Where do you think love comes from? Amen. It comes from him because he's created it in you. It's in you, but if you don't know what it looks like, if you don't know what it feels like, and sometimes you get them fuzzy feelings, you think it's love, or a little puppy love. It's really not love, it's really lust. You think it's love until you get the blinders off. I told you, this goes deep now. On some of us, on side of us, we had the love of our life. We married our love. We weren't told about the birds and the bees. We had to figure it out. Some of us just figured it out for ourselves. But it's okay because she was designed for you. Elohim knew that. And you were designed for him. Some of them had been married a long time. He said, what can we learn about love? Well, you can learn a lot from love because you got to go back to the one who created love. Because until then, you don't even know what love is. Because Elohim is love. Now, if you don't know who Elohim is, then why are you here? Because you got to go back to the beginning, because you sure don't find it from Matthew to Revelations. Because when you start getting there, you see a lot of judgments. Because why? That when you get to that part of the Bible, time is running out. That's the way I see it. And that's what I read. And it tells you about the one who don't love. Your love has to be for him. It has to be the highest thing on your level. As much as Abraham loved Isaac, Yah says, I want him, putting him to the test. The one who does not love does not know Elohim, for Elohim is love. Get that around, wrap that around your mind. You don't love because you don't know Elohim. That's one reason. That's one of his characteristics, is love. In John 6:68, y'all don't have to turn there. Y'all just write it down because I wrote it down for me. I don't have to flip-flop in the pages. In John 6:68, then Shimon Kefer answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You possess the words of everlasting life," because that's what we're trying to get to. How are you going to know how to get there without the instructions on what love is about? We need the instructions. In John 15:13, he said, "No one has greater love than this, and one should lay down his life for his friends." Verse 14 says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Yeah. Now, you know, we've been commanded some things. And one thing we've been commanded for you to be here today. So you must be loving him. Just a little bit. I'll show it the whole lot. Good boy. And can you imagine that encounter? Face to face, when you see Isaac and Abraham and Yaakov and all the prophets, you've made it. Because your love has, the love you have for him brought you there. Without it, you can't get there. By this, the love of Elohim was manifested to us. That Elohim has sent his only what? Brought forth son. What is he asking to sacrifice? Your only son. Think about that. Your only son. If you had one child and Yah asked you to do it, you have faith to believe that Yah would raise him? Sarah not seeing her son for the last time? Think about all these things. His only brought forth son into the world in order that we might live through him. For Yehovah so loved the world, John 3:16. This is one we learned when we was knee-high to a grasshopper. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believed in him should not perish. He don't want to destroy his creation, but he has. That we have what? Everlasting life. We have to believe in him. We have to follow what he says. We have to like what he likes. We have to hate what he hates. There's no compromising. I'm sorry, there's no compromising. We learned last week what happened when you compromise when we talked about Shimshon. What happened when he compromised with his love? Oh, my darling, where does your strength come from? She vexed him daily, scripture says, till finally he opened up his heart and told him a secret. And we know what happened. They ripped out his eyes. I'm sure they didn't say, "Come here. Let me, you have something in your eye. You have a little splinter in your eye." No, they gouged it out. And then to the point the way he did what? He gave his what? He gave up his life. But the scripture says his hair began to grow. The spirit of Yahweh never left him. Yah had mercy and compassion on him. Go read Shimshon. We learned that last week. But his life was on the line. And let me tell you, once you put your hands to the plow, there's no looking back. Like I said, I used this before. You heard me say it once. When I got the phone call from my brother, he said, "Hey, Pastor, I want you to come help teach Bible study." It's a no-brainer. And now here we are today. I didn't see this coming. But you know what? My hands are on the plow. It's too late to say, I changed my mind. You're on the hook. The one who does not love does not know Elohim, for Elohim is love. By this, the love of Elohim was manifested to us. How? Through his son. There's no other way. There's no other son. There's not another son coming. There's not another Yeshua coming, but the one that's already designed to come. There's not another. That Elohim has sent his only brought forth son to the world in order that we might live through him. He is the one. He is the Yaqid son. I'm going to throw a Hebrew word at y'all. In this, verse 10, in this is love. Not that we loved Elohim, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning offering for our sin. What was about to happen to Isaac? He was about to be an atoning offering unto Yehovah. Yehovah ain't for killing. And what was Yeshua? Can you imagine their conversation? I didn't know if I was going to tell the story. This is not a story. It's a true story. But can you imagine a father and his son? He says, son, look at all these people around here on the earth who you dwell. Look at all these people, son. He said, I would destroy them all. He said, but I had compassion and mercy upon them. I showed it through the prophets before you, son. I showed them loving commitment all their lives. And they were still unfaithful to me. He said, it got so bad, son, I divorced them. He said, yeah, dad. Wow, what can we do? He said, son, but I want to marry them all back because I love them. Hallelujah. He loves us. He said, I love them, son, but that's a problem. He said, what's that, dad? He said, somebody has to give up their life for them. We have to sacrifice a ewe lamb. We have to sacrifice a ram. And we know that's where the story goes. We're not going to get to that. But he's telling his son this story. He says, dad, well, what can we do to he said, I can't break my own rules, son. I divorced him. Now, death has to occur. Well, dad, what are we going to do? I see the wood. I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice? He said, son, you're my sacrifice. Can you imagine? Can you imagine his son at that moment? What he had to give up for his life, for you to be sitting here in air conditioning, on padded chairs. Huh? When we didn't deserve it at all. But he loved us. He said, what he says, Father? Not my will. Your will be done. He could have changed his mind. I ain't dying for them sinners, for them brood of adders, them vipers. He never said that. He said, let your will be done, Father. Can you imagine that conversation they had? Praying in the garden. We only have us recorded, but I'm sure it's much deeper than that. I'm sure of it. You got to give up your life, son. For everything you stood for all the Shabbats you made, for all the feast days you made, for all the time when you were run outside like a knucklehead. You still want to die for these people? Yes, Father. Not my will, but your will be done. And think about about Sarah. Seeing her son for the last time, Itzhak. We're going to get to that eventually at some point in time. But can you imagine Mary at this time seeing her son being beaten? We read that. We read that last week. Being slapped on. Slapped in the face. We sit on the front row because they spat on him. That's why they sit on the front row. No, that's not really why. We just use that as an inside joke. Nobody else dares. Only our pastors sit on the front row. And I love them to death. Let me tell you. They spit in his face. They plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. And then later in the story goes that the ram's caught in a thicket in his head by the thorns. We see the tie-ins. But you can imagine, then after all that, they mocked him. We read that. Let's forget the mocking. The mocking gets really bad. They flogged him. They did all this to test what? Your love. It was a test for you. We thought Abraham had a test. This was the ultimate test. Probably some of us we didn't peter out when we saw the first slap or the first stripe come upon him. I don't know the man. That's what Peter said. You think he wasn't tested? Oh yeah. Yeshua tested him face to face. That day just along the beach. Yeshua tested him. But can you imagine Mary, his mother, watching all this taking place? To her own son, her only son. Why? Because she had other children. But he was the promised son. See, that's why it specifies the only son. The only one who could walk that road, that dusty road, and carry his own cross to his own death, to the point where he needed help. And can you imagine, after all that, being nailed to a post. And then, what could be more worse, after taking all the whipping, all the beating, strip you naked in front of everybody and put it in a corner somewhere with a little rag around you, like you see crosses today, with a little rag around your midsection. Really? If we get that imagery, you miss the point. Suspend it on a pole for everybody to see. Look. If you think it's not humiliating, go up there by the road by Thompson Kitchen, walk on the side of the road with all your clothes off and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Go ahead. I challenge you. You see if it's not humiliating. Can you imagine mama looking at him and saying, "That's my son, my only son"? Can you imagine how she felt? Tell you, this love is, this will bring you to the end. Look, beloved ones, if Elohim so loved us, we ought to love one another. Let me go back to 10. And this is love. Not that we loved Elohim, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning offering for our sins. Why? Because we were sinners. He said, the one doing sin is a servant to sin. At one time, that's what I was. I was a servant to sin. I didn't practice righteousness. Beloved one, if Elohim so loved us, we ought to love one another. That can be tough sometimes. Sometimes we get rubbed wrong. When we get rubbed wrong, we fall our own back. And yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We ought to love one another. No one has seen Elohim at any time. If we love one another, Elohim does stay in us. He just minnow. And his love has been perfected in us. We need that perfect love. Look, every time you come across love, and if you got the Strong's Concordance, go look at G25. It'll direct you on what love we're talking about here. So it's no confusion. In Amos, I'm going to take a pause right there. In Amos chapter 8. This leads you that way. Verses 9 and 10. Like I said, y'all can turn if y'all want to. I have it. Oh, no, this one I don't have written down. We need this love because it shall be in that day, declared the Master Jehovah, that I shall cause the sun to go down at noon and shall darken the earth on a day of brightness and shall turn your festivals into mourning and your songs into lamentation, and bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head, and I shall make it like mourning for an only son, and it's in like a day of bitterness. The clock's ticking. We'll mourn for it like it's our only son. And Zechariah, and that is another one here. Chapter 12 and verse 10. And I shall pour on the house of Dawid and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of favor and prayers. And they shall look on me whom they pierced. Remember the story I just told you? And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. It's in the scripture. And there shall be in bitterness over him as bitterness over the firstborn. That only son is Strong's H3173 is Yaqid. It's the only son, beloved, the begotten. It leads you to another Hebrew word, H3161 is Yakad, to be joined or joined together, be united. Don't you want to be united with that only son of his? That's what he's trying to get us to. To be united, to unite. to be one, joined with. But you have to have that love. Without it, you can't be joined to him. Because the scripture, I just read it. You'll be outside the door knocking, "Let me in." He even gets to the point when one of them even gets in. But he says, "Friend, how'd you get in here?" He tells him not a story, not a parable. He says, "How'd you get in here?" He says, what he says? "You don't even have the wedding clothes on. How you got in here?" Don't you know? There you go. He said, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him out." So sorry, you got in here, but I don't know how you did, but you can't stay. That's going to be a sad day. There it is. That's the 1 John back to 4. Remember I told you? I couldn't find it. It just popped up. It says, "Beloved one, because love is of Elohim, and everyone who loves has been born of Elohim and knows Elohim." In Galatians 4:9, I had a scripture for that. It says, "Elohim, or rather known by Elohim, how do you turn again to the weak and poor elementary matters to which you wish to be enslaved again?" What? I thought he said he knows me. Yeah, but what? If you know him, stay with him. Minnow. Why would you desire to go back? Why would I desire yesterday to want to lick that oyster? And nobody would have known besides me and my uncle. I could have done that easily, but the flesh, let me tell you, flesh is there waiting for you. It wants to be there to encapture you. It wants to overtake you. That was that verse of scripture for that. Now let me get back. No one, verse 12, no one has seen Elohim at any time. If we love one another, Elohim does stay in us. He minnows. And his love has been perfected in us. By this, we know that we stay in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. In Galatians 4:6, "And because you are sons, Elohim has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father." Same spirit. You don't get nothing different than what his son had. Trust me, you ain't more special than his son. He's at his own right hand. I'm not at his right hand. Then you see that question popped up with his disciple. "Hey, can one sit to the right, can one sit to the left?" He said, "Woman, you don't even know what you ask. That's not for me to give." Now, I'm kind of paraphrasing that a little bit, but you know the story I'm talking about? He asked for that. Who wouldn't want to sit next to the master? I would love sitting next to him. But look, just to be in his presence at his table is good enough for me. And I'm okay with that. But in order to get that table, you have to have that invitation. You need an invitation. Justin, you don't get in. 1 minute? Oh, man, I just got started. I told you like a dynamite ready to explode. Gee, man, yo, we got to get longer CDs. Let me see if I can give you one more. Verse 14, "And we have seen and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son, Savior of the world." And boy, did he send him. And did he make his Father proud. To where even he gave up his life, because where this road leads to death. And he had to raise him. I'm out of time. God. I was just getting started, I promise you. Because look, I still got this page, and this page to cover. So I had notes. Look, it was not me here to entertain you. You're here me to show you what the scripture says. Take your son, your only son. This is about who it's about. It's about him today. Your only son, offer him up. And it's going to... it'll take you to all your life to be and just to honor him with every day of your life. honor him. Thank y'all.